Let me be the first to say, I'm not a pastor, I'm not ordained, I'm not in seminary. What is your youth director doing up here? Several weeks ago, Pastor David mentioned that he was going to be gone this Sunday. And in a maybe in a moment of word vomit, I said, I'll preach. Oh boy, buckle up. I'm sharing a very important part of my story. So maybe me volunteering to preach this morning was a God thing. Or maybe I'm just crazy because I'm already crying. But either way, here we are. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When I was 22 years old, I met and began dating Dave. First slide. Isn't he cute? I knew from the get-go that it was his dream to join the military. And 3 days before our one-year anniversary, he left for MCRD San Diego to begin recruit training with the United States Marine Corps. After boot camp, so that was 13 weeks, long time, about 2 months of the School of Infantry at Camp Pendleton in Oceanside, California after that for about 59 days. And then he received his permanent duty station assignment to the Marine Corps base in Kaneohe Bay, Hawaii. In November 2012, he left on his first deployment, and I welcomed him back on American soil in Hawaii on June 2013. Next slide. Dave had this quiet confidence, and he could tell the best stories. He had this quick wit about him, and he was good at just about everything he set his mind to. He never ceased to make me laugh. He was cool. He was tough. But he was kind. It took him over a year to say, I love you back to me, which made that first time hearing those words feel even more special. He also hated pickles, so I loved it when he ordered something that had pickles on the side because he handed it right over to me. If that didn't make us the perfect pair, I don't know what does. Next slide. The last time I saw Dave alive was July 7th, 2013. He was home on post-deployment leave, and we said our see you laters, and I immediately started another countdown on my phone for November 7th, 2013, which would be when I would head to Hawaii to attend his Marine Corps ball and spend a long weekend with him. Little did I know I was counting down to the worst day of my life. The morning of November 7th, he took part in a run with his battalion. A 5-mile death run, his words, which sting to say now. With a 1/4 mile to go, he collapsed shortly after complaining to someone that his legs weren't working. My morning on November 7th consisted of going to a class at Trinity Lutheran College, then running home and having my dad drive me up to Bellingham to hop on a plane and head to Hawaii. As the plane was boarding, I got a phone call from his mom that there were 2 Marines in dress blues standing on their door. When he collapsed on the run, he couldn't be revived, and he died at the age of 25. Sudden cardiac arrest due to an undiagnosed heart condition. The man I saw dropping to a knee in the next few months, if I had anything to do with it, marrying me, being the father of my children, he was gone literally in a heartbeat. This coming Wednesday marks the 5-year anniversary of his death, and tomorrow I hop on a plane to head back to Hawaii to spend time with his family and donate an AED to the Marine Corps base. In our gospel reading this morning, Mary was ticked at Jesus. She says, Lord, if you had just been here, my brother wouldn't have died. I feel for Mary in this moment. I've been there. I have a few of those if-only moments myself. If an AED had arrived sooner, or because an officer collapsed 5 feet away from him due to heat stroke, so they treated Dave for heat as well, even though his lips were blue, which is a sign of a cardiac issue. What if they treated him for his heart right away? Lord, if you had only been here. Mary gets upset. She lashes out at Jesus. But how does Jesus respond? He doesn't get defensive. He doesn't guilt trip her back. He listens. He hurts with her. He weeps. He knows what he is set out there to do. He knows what is about to happen. So one would think that Jesus would be confident, maybe even a little smug. Imagine a smug Jesus. It's kind of cool. Jesus has deep compassion and empathy for Lazarus' sisters and loved ones. He took on their pain as his own and cried for them. That's empathy. Brené Brown is a research professor who has spent over 2 decades studying courage, vulnerability, shame, and empathy. Brown has countless TED Talks and books, and she has a message that I tend to lean on whenever the topic of my loss comes up. I'll summarize, but search for Brené Brown empathy, and it should be one of the first things that pops up. It's a cartoon that's animated with a bear, a fox, and I think it's an antelope. And so she defines empathy as something that fuels connection and sympathy as something that drives disconnection. She says that empathy is feeling with people. In this video, the fox falls down a dark hole and shouts, "I'm stuck, it's dark, I'm overwhelmed." Sympathy is this antelope, or whatever it is, and staying at the top of the hole and just shouting down, "Nah, I'm good. Want a sandwich?" Brown goes on to say that empathy is a choice, and it requires vulnerability. She says, in order to connect with you, I have to connect with something in myself that knows that feeling. She says, when we sympathize with something or with someone, we try to fix it or put a silver lining around it. But what we really need is connection, and we get that through empathy. Brown says, rarely can a response make something better. What does make something better is connection. We aren't meant to fix or take away the pain from someone we love. We can't bring someone back from the dead. We can't magically pull someone out of the grieving process. But sitting with someone in their pit of sadness, darkness, and grief, even in complete silence, is more helpful than saying cliches that could end up being more hurtful than helpful. Any loss, death of a loved one, loss of a pet, a divorce, end of a relationship or a friendship, causes disconnection. People or things are ripped away, torn apart from us. Not only was I grieving the death of someone I love, but I also grieved for my future. Jesus shows us in this passage that when we cry, Jesus cries. When we hurt, Jesus hurts. There's no judgment, no criticism, no fixing. He feels right with us and walks alongside us in our pain. We are called to do the same. Connect with others, risk vulnerability, love deeply, and show compassion. We aren't made to walk through even our best days alone. We are meant to join in community with others and establish connections rooted in love and respect. We don't need to hide away the pain or make it disappear, but rather acknowledging whatever feeling, good or bad, as genuine and real. You don't have to have all the answers, but you do have to be willing to sit in something that may be uncomfortable. By pushing through, the connection between us is tighter and closer. That is the body of Christ, the communion of saints, connection. Amen.